on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is March 6, 2015. Now, Friday morning is always a busy time for me. I put together the final touches of our weekly premium newsletter. It comes out every Friday. If you're a subscriber, you've already got it in your email folder. We always send that out fairly early, as early as we can during the day. Each Friday on InvestTalk, I like to feature some highlights from the newsletter to wrap up the week and give you a glimpse of what I share in that newsletter. So this week, I said that we had a massive amount of economic data released, and we did, and it was topped off by this morning's jobs report. This morning's jobs report. I want to talk about that in more depth in later on the show. But I contrasted this morning in the newsletter with the ADP report that comes out a couple days earlier, and with that the official report. Now the ADP is always on private sector jobs and their estimate, whereas the official report has private and public sector jobs. So the numbers are never going to be the same. Okay, so you always have to look at it in that context. ADP used to be pretty wrong a year or 2 years, 3 years ago, and they're getting better and better at getting closer to the official number. So I'm starting to think that maybe that number, ADP number, is kind of important. Talked about the lower oil prices and that the effect it's having on the jobs market. And then the Beige Book report. I mean, there's a lot of construction numbers. There's a lot of numbers out this week. And it's always hard to ferret out which ones are the important ones, which ones are not. And I try to do that in the newsletter. I try to do it every Friday in that newsletter. Try to help give us an idea. And it helps me in formulating my own thoughts when I look at it all together in one spot and try to say, okay, what does this mean? Kind of interesting. Oil prices, of course, have been oil prices and the QE coming out of Europe was the big news this week. And then on top of that was this morning's jobs report, which was much better than expected. Now you can it's free. You can get it for free. We are going to have a free webinar coming up, and it's going to be on oil. Be on the 19th. It's free. The newsletter costs $9 and like $10 a month. But it's free to a client, so all clients get it for free. But the webinar, wealth webinar, is going to be on the 19th. I think it's going to be at 6:30 in the evening. You have to sign up for it, but there's no cost. The sign up is just providing an email address so you can add access. We can give you the access code to get to it, so you can sign in. In our market commentary section of my newsletter this morning, talked about the European factor. And always at the end of my first section in that newsletter, I talk about what KPP is doing. We don't make a lot of changes from week to week to week, but I like to give a little bit about, a sentence or two about my company's reaction to what we see going on. I just think it's a pretty interesting newsletter if you just want a little short synopsis of what happened during the week and to what I should be concerned with. Anyways, that's our weekly premium newsletter. You can sign up for it on InvestTalk.com, less than $10 a month, and it comes out every Friday. InvestTalk is all about answering questions. That's what this show does. We've been doing it for years. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Our number is 888-99-CHART. I hope you will use it and give me a call and do it right now. But first, let's take a question. Here's Rick from San Diego.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for the call, Rick.
Yeah, I was going to give you an update for Hydrogenics. Uh-huh. They just had their report,
yes.
And it's not only the first profitable quarter for Hydrogenics, it's the first profitable quarter for any fuel cell company.
That's interesting, they made 34 cents they're going to make 34 cents for next year, by the way, but they made 6 cents for this quarter, 6, that's pretty good. Let me tell everybody, it's Hydrogenics Corporation out of Ontario. Designs and manufactures fuel cell and hydrogen products for markets in Europe, Africa, Canada, South America, Asia, and so that they finally made some money. I kind of like that they finally made some money, Rick.
Yeah, it's always a good sign.
Yeah, it always is. And it's a very, very small company, though, $150 million company. They only did $15 million in sales, but the sales have been growing nicely. So, yeah, that's good. That's very good.
So what do you think it could go to? It's about 15 right now or so, and I think it could get up maybe the middle 20s like it was before.
I would not be surprised at all if it got up to the low to middle 20s. That would not surprise me because you have a company who's now making money. It's scheduled to make money this year. I mean, it's only going to next year, not this year. It's only going to make 34 cents, but the sales growth in the last 3 quarters ago, the sales growth was 9%. Then 2 quarters ago, sales grew at 20%. And this most recent quarter, it grew at 42%.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that kind of sales growth, if they can keep that up, I can see it easily going up back up to the low, the mid-20s. I can see that.
Okay.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate the call. Thank
Bye.
You. HYGS is the symbol, Hydronetics Corporation. There's been a promise of fuel cell technology for years and years and years and years, and it's always been just over the horizon, just over the horizon. And remember, I've always said, I don't like buying companies that don't make money. I want them to make money before I think about buying them. And so, a lot of those great story biotechs that had great stories, never bought any. Fuel cell companies, never bought one. Simply because I want the money. I need to see them make money. I don't want to buy a company that doesn't make money. Big three-digit moves in either directions can be unsettling for investors, but should it be? Market volatility. Is it a problem? Or not? We've seen, you see today, we're talking about volatility. And that's going to be one of our talking points today. Tech buybacks. You know, there's been a record amount of technology buybacks by corporations announced and purchasing of technology shares from the open market by these big tech companies. And that's one of the ways they've been returning excess profits to shareholders, by buying back their stocks. But there's a little problem with this, and I want to talk about this little problem. To me, really smacks of something wrong. And what does the stock market do? What does it do prior, immediately 6 months prior, at the time, and 6 months after the Fed starts to raise the funds rate, interest rates? When they start to raise that rate, what does the market do 6 months prior, 6 months after? Do you know? Well, I have a study here that tells us what it does and has been doing. It goes only back to 1980, which I would prefer to go back further, but that's as far as it goes back. And, of course, I want to talk about the jobs report today for February. 295,000 jobs, much more than expected, and the market took a dive. The Dow was down 278 points, the Nasdaq down 55, and the S&P down 30. The market has been weak all week, and even most of last week, the market has been weak. And today, it took a big dump on that good jobs report. Now, if you listen to the show for very long, you'll know why it took a big dump on that good jobs report. But is our jobs really as good as it looks? I'll talk about that a little bit. But it's easy to determine why the really good Josh report makes the market fall. Does that not bring forward the Fed raising rates? Maybe. Got good Josh report. People back to work. Why do we have such a accommodative low interest rate? Why should there be that? I said a couple of years ago, we're talking about the QE back then, and my biggest concern is, how are they ever going to unwind this? How are they ever going to get back to normal rates without disrupting the economy and the stock market? And I couldn't see the way out of that. How are they going to get rates to be normalized? Which means, in this part of an economic recovery, our rates should be 3 to 5%, and they're zero. So how are you going to get back to 3 to 5% without either tanking the economy are taking the stock market, I mean, you're going to have some very big pain. So the Fed has decided, well, we're going to do it really, really slow. But I still don't know if that's going to work. How slow can they be? And what happens if we go into another recession and you don't have a rates high enough to lower them to try to spur the economy? Because it's a difficult thing. They put themselves in a box, a big-time box. If you've been thinking about giving your portfolio a good in-depth going over, I'll be willing to take a look at it and give it to you. I do schedule a small number of these portfolio reviews each month for our listeners. I can do this at our offices, or those that live out of range of our office. I can do a Skype, do it over the phone. I get faxed portfolios, emails, attached portfolios. Take a look at it and talk to people over the phone. You know, I can help you with anything you have. At least give you an idea of where you are if you're not sure or what you should do. Give you a direction. Be happy to do that. Of course, I have an appointment setting up in March 11th in La Jolla. I also in the San Diego area. San Ramon, I'll be in March 17th, and San Jose on March 18th. So if you want to reserve your time to meet me in person in those places, you can do that. Schedule a meeting. Go to a schedule meeting at investtalk.com. My staff will get right back to you. Now, the market was down 295 points today, the Dow was, so that's pretty high volatility, right? So is market volatility good, bad? Is it something you should worry about? Market volatility has been a near record level in recent months, and we talked about that before. It calmed down here in the last couple of weeks, but spiked today, but we're still pretty high volatility. But does it really mean anything terrible? Should you react to it? And I will say this. The normal average person probably shouldn't. Because volatility is common at certain times of the market, certain times of the cycle, the economic cycle. Volatility in the stock market. And it always increases when there's a bit of uncertainty. And what's the uncertainty? When is the Fed going to raise rates? That's the uncertainty. Will this QE out of Europe work? That's another uncertainty. How low will China's growth rate go? They lowered it this week. Did you see that this week? They lowered it to 7%. But most people, I believe it's going to be less than 7% this year. And even their chairman, you know, they're having the big Congress, Chinese governmental Congress, right this week. And even the chairman, whoever he is, Lau or whatever his name is, gave a pretty downbeat message about the economy in China. Now, that means slower growth, not shrinkage, but slower growth. But China's even trying to do some kind of some targeted, not quantitative easing, but loosening of certain standards to try to keep the economy going. And all that's uncertainty, and uncertainty breeds volatility. You know, when everything's running along smoothly and everything seems to be normal, then you get much less volatile. The markets are less volatile. But they're not bad in and of themselves. People think they are. They're not. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, 888-99-CHART is how to reach me right now. Your money topic is always first on Invest Talk, whatever you want to talk about. I got lots of topics, but you come first. I'm ready for your call right now.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And Steve hopes you'll sign up for our free wealth webinar coming up March 19th, The Upside of Lower Oil Prices. Again, it's coming up March 19th, 6:30 Pacific Time. Sign up is free right now on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART. InvestTalk is a two-way conversation. It always has been, always will be. But if you have a question between programs and we can't talk two ways, you still can ask the question. And we'll play it on the next Invest Talk. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Julio Alvarez calling from North Carolina. I'm a regular podcast listener. I am looking to acquire a position in ExxonMobil, symbol XOM, or Chevron, symbol CVX. I noticed that they are both near their 52-week low. I would like to know what would be a good entry point for them. If you can only look at one of these stocks for me, I would prefer you look at Chevron since it has the higher dividend of the two. Thank you.
Okay, I'll look at Chevron, even though I'll tell you personally I like Exxon better. But both of them are real, right near their lows, and I think Exxon broke a little bit below those. You probably want to know why I like Exxon better. They have more free cash flow. They seem to have a better handle on their expenses, and I think they're going to weather this $50 a barrel oil much better than most other oil companies. Chevron, though, is also very good. Don't mistake me. I like Chevron as well. Both are shrinking their sales, and the reason why they're shrinking their sales is because the price is cut in half. How can you not shrink your sales when the price of your product is cut in half? So also, one of the reasons I like ExxonMobil is because they have a large natural gas division. They bought a huge natural gas player a few years ago. And I think ExxonMobil is going to be buying up a lot of, so was Chevron, I'm sure. But let's talk about Chevron. It does have a 4.1% dividend, and the dividends are in either company is in jeopardy. You don't have to worry about that. They're still going to get the dividend. And I would think this is the area on both of these stocks that you kind of want to start accumulating. These are the kind of stocks you want to buy and hold because they're going to be around forever and ever and ever and ever. I mean, here you have Chevron is going to make $6.79 in 2016 after making $3.92 this year. $3.92. But you got to remember, they made $10 a share last year, $11 a share before. So it's going to go all the way down to $3.92. But notice they're still making money. So the stock price went from $135 for Chevron down to $103 today. So that's a pretty good fall. But it's not cheap. It's not cheap because the five-year average PE is 6 to 13, and at $6.79 they're going to make next year, what that PE is not that low. You see? So, I mean, it's, you know, what, 15, 17? Still kind of high. So if you start buying here, which I'm not suggesting you do not buy, I'm suggesting you could buy some of your position here. Don't think that you're getting it at a really great discount. Over time, you probably are. So it really depends on you. Are you an investor or are you a trader? If you're a trader, you don't buy it. If you're an investor and you're going to hold on to it for long term, you can start dabbling in these things right now. I would. Okay? The Chevron, CVX. ExxonMobil is XOM. 888-99-CHART. Okay, we know that there's been a lot of buybacks announced over the last several years. Big tech companies have been cash flushed with cash, and they've been announcing buybacks. What is bothering me now, right now, they are still buying record amounts of tech stocks, but insiders, directors, senior executives are selling at the heaviest pace they've seen in 8 years. Okay, so these same bosses are buying stocks in the open market with their company's money, but at the same time, they're selling their own personal holdings in those exact same stocks. Does that not strike you as something wrong there? I mean, remember, if you are selling your stocks and you work for the company and you're one of the senior executives and you're selling your company's stocks at the highest level seen in the last 8 years, why is your company buying its own stock back? You must be selling for a reason. Do you think it's overpriced? Do you think your earnings are going to go down? Why are you selling? Now, I will say this. Insider selling is not always reliable. They're not always selling because the company stock is high and they're worried or their sales are going to go down. Many times they sell just to realize their earnings, their salaries. They want to diversify. So it's hard to say emphatically that they're selling because something's wrong with the company or they don't like what they see in the future. That's not necessarily so. But when it gets to a record, the highest, heaviest level since in the last 8 years, kind of concerns me. Kind of concerns me that maybe they feel that these stocks are a little overpriced. Mind you, they could be wrong. They're not always right. But they are insiders. They know more about their company than you and I do. It's not insider selling because they're not selling information, selling based on information only they have. All of us have it. So that's not insider selling. You know, it's not selling stuff that not the public doesn't know. It's selling, they're just realizing profits at record levels now. Why? Coming up in the next half hour, are you enrolled in your company's 401k plan? Do you own a significant share of your own company's stock? A note of caution for you in the next half hour on Invest Talk 101. If you have a question, you know how to reach me, 888-99-CHART. Chart. Let's go to Siam. How are you doing in Fremont? How are you doing, Siam?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you. I really like your show.
Thanks.
It's very informative. I have a quick question. I was wondering if there is a source where I can get consolidated information about insider trading. I always wonder, you know, if there is some place I can go and just check which company there's more insider trading going on.
Well, it is difficult because, you always want to just go to one place instead of searching out the information in a bunch of different places. I will tell you how I get it. I get it on marketsmith.com. It's a piece of software I purchase. And what it gives me is it shows me in a graph where the insiders are buying with plus and minuses over a time frame. But almost anywhere you get information, Siam, it's more important, or at least I will say I put more weight on buying than I do selling. Because insiders always sell. They always sell. But they don't that often buy. Okay? So that right. means if they're willing to buy, they must have some pretty good faith in their company. But they always sell because they get paid, you get paid in options, you get paid in stocks, and you want to realize that money, you have to sell it. So it's always difficult when you're looking at the buys and sells, but it is there, and I get it at marketsmith.com. It costs $50 a month, $100 a month for a daily download, for updated information daily. So, and it gives you a really little snapshot of everything that's going on with the company fundamentally. That's why I like it. Appreciate the call, Siam. Thank you. Harish in Santa Clara. How are you doing, Harish?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
I have a question about Skechers, ticker symbol SKX.
Oh, yeah. It's a tennis shoe people.
So I got into this about a month ago, right before their earnings, and it turned out to be pretty good after that. And the reason I actually got in is I see that they have a low debt and their earnings seems to be growing.
Yes.
And I do see Skechers and I use Skechers. I like it. So I just wanted to take your opinion on how this position will be in the long term.
Long term, it looks pretty darn good. Skechers, everybody. Markets men's, women's, children's, casual dress, and athletic footwear via department and specialty stores. They are growing their sales 20 to 30% the last year, quarter over quarter over quarter. The year before that, it was about 20% a quarter, so they improved. Earnings are going to go up 38% this year to $3.93 a share, and then 23% more next year, $4.84. Debt is very low. Management owns 13%. Mutual funds are buyers. So you got all those good things going for it, and I will tell you there's fundamentally nothing wrong with this company, except it is a little expensive. It is a $66 share stock selling for about 24 PE, but if you look forward next year, $4.84, is not nearly expensive. So I kind of like it. I think it looks like it's got the ability to keep going forward. The only thing that bad would happen, Harish, is if we go into recession. Then, of course, they got a problem. just like any other clothing store. They have a problem. But as long as we're not looking like we're going to recession, I think it looks pretty good. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Harish. Appreciate the call. Thank you. That's Skechers, everybody. SKX is the symbol. Let's go to Brad in Ferguson. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener. Listen to you on my iPad practically every day.
Great. Thank you.
I got a question for you. Big news, of course, today is that AT&T is going to be taken off of the Dow and replaced with Apple.
Yep.
And I'm a holder of quite a bit of AT&T stock. I consider it a long-term holding. I'm not concerned, but just wanted to know what your take was on
that. I wouldn't be concerned with AT&T. I really wouldn't. It has a very nice dividend, 5.6%. I don't think the dividend's in jeopardy of going down. I think it's going to continue to grow 2 to 4%. And the event that is taken off the Dow Jones 30 and replaced with Apple, to me, is it will affect it. It did affect it today, and it affected Apple today. But that's only a one-day thing because think about if you're an index buyer, all of a sudden now, you know, they're changing the index. So AT&T has to be sold if you're an index mutual fund or ETF, and you got to buy Apple. And that's what happened. So once that's over with, it's done. I don't think it is a reason to sell AT&T. I really don't.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call, Brad. Thank you. AT&T is symbol T. It pays a 5.6% dividend. Okay, let me put it this way. If you put your money in a bank, you're going to earn, what, 0.1%? And it will never go down in value, very true. You put your money in AT&T, you're going to get 5.6% of money on your, and it's just as safe as, almost just as safe as a bank. But the stock price will be volatile, up and down. But if you look at the history of the stock price, it's not up and down all that much. I mean, if you go in a recession, it'll go down sharply. But, you know, it's going to trade within a range. So you wait for it to come down to a low price and maybe the low 30s and you buy it. It's at $33.40 now. Maybe the high 20s. But you get to make 5.6% on your money. And if you're not, if you're a long-term investor, you don't care what it does today, this week, next month, this year. You don't care. Just collect your 5.5%. Just hold on to it. Okay? Time for Invest Talk 101, lessons in basic investing strategies. This one's about diversification. A study just published by the University of California, Riverside, says that employees whose retirement plan is invested in stock of the company where they work do not pull out money as the firms approach final financial crisis as things start to fall apart. It can seem like the right thing to do many times, buy and hold, especially if you work for the company, you might know more information about that company. Should employees be invested in their own employer's business? I'm going to say yes. Where they work, where you work, I'm going to say, yeah, I think you should have a vested interest. Where I disagree with a lot of people is how much invested interest should you have? It should be just like any other holdings, not be all your holdings or half your holdings or even 10% of your holdings. So you shouldn't invest too much in any one stock, even in the company that you work for. But having an interest in it and having stocks in it, I don't have a problem with. But don't put too much, not too much. And to me, not too much, no more than 10%. I really feel more comfortable with 5%. And that's Invest Talk 101. 5% or 10% of what, though? Maybe I'm not making that clear. Of your overall invested dollars, no more than 5 or 10%. That's what I'm saying. That's Invest Talk 101. If you have a question for us that you'd like to ask me directly, just go to investtalk.com. That's investtalk.com. And click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin.
You work hard for your money. Why isn't it working harder for you?
In looking at the chart, do you have to look at this the opposite of like a normal stock?
Ask your question. 888-99-CHART is the number. This is Invest Talk on radio and investtalk.com. Our listener line is open 24/7 for your questions. Hear the answer live on radio and online 4 to 5 or the playback anytime on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what do stocks do before and after a Federal Reserve rate hike? Well, there was a study going back to 1980 The 6 months before a rate hike, the market is up 6.3%. The 6 months after a rate hike, the market's up 3.7%. The 12 months surrounding, you look at both before and after all the time, about a 12% increase. So everybody's fearing this rate hike, but I think it's overdone. Rate hikes happen. They should happen, just like rate reduction should happen. The Federal Reserve uses that to try to smooth out the economy. So just so you know, right now, today, I think that the anticipation of rate hike happening sooner jumped. And if you look at the Fed funds futures, it went from like 19% of a Fed funds hike rate in the next 3 months to 21% chance of a Fed funds rate hike in the next 3 months. Right now it's a 63% odds that they will raise by September in the September meeting. And that's by looking at the Fed fund futures to determine who's betting on what to go up or down. So that's what the smart money thinks. How smart they are, I don't know, but that's what they think. Okay? So don't be so panicked about a rate going up or down. I don't think it's that critical. Think about this, though. If a rate is going up, that means our economy is doing really well. If the Fed's going to raise rates, the only reason they would do that is slow down the economy. I don't know if they need to do that at this point. I don't think the economy is that strong. We'll see. I think the economy probably will get stronger this year than last year. But I do think the Fed probably will raise rates this year, but we don't know. No one knows. I wished I did know. It's impossible to know. Let's go to Shanda in the Bay Area. How you doing, Shanda?
Good. How about yourself?
Good. Thank you for the call.
I wanted to find out what do you think about Marketo, the marketing software company. I have some stock of it, and recently it has been having some...
Why did it take a dump? It took a dump from 33 down to 28 in one day. Do you know why? With earnings?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Marketo, Inc., it's out of San Mateo, provides cloud-based marketing software that enables organizations to engage in modern relationship marketing. Sales have been growing. It's a very small company, a $1 billion company, so it's not tiny, tiny, but it's small. Sales have been growing 50% or so for the last 2 years every quarter, 50% a quarter. But they still have not made money. They haven't made money since their beginning of their existence back in 2010. They went IPO in 2013 at $13 a share, and today they're at $26. It's done pretty well, doubled in price from the IPO price. But the first day of trading was in the 20s, so you could never buy it at 13. That was on the IPO price. Shanda, I don't like buying companies that don't make money. You'll never hear me recommending companies that don't make money. So I do like the fact that its sales are increasing. But until it makes money, it turns itself around and actually makes money, I kind of worry about it. It doesn't have any debt. Management owns 12%. Sales are growing great, but they're still not making money. They're burning money still. So that kind of concerns me. I would be very, very careful. Okay?
What are your technical read on it?
I think that if it holds above, if you own this stock, if it stays above 22, it's at 26.56, that's pretty hot, pretty down there. 22 is strong support. It has pretty strong support right around 26 even, maybe 25.50 or so, and then another strong support at 22. If it breaks, it depends how tight you want to be. For me, I'd be out of the stock because it's not making money. For you, if you own it and you really have faith in it, then I would give it all the way down to 22 if you have really strong feelings about it. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Shanda. I appreciate the call. Let's talk to Anthony in Fremont. How you doing, Anthony?
Hi, good. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thank you for the
call. Good. I got a question about Lumber Liquidator.
Oh, yeah.
Ticker symbol LL.
Yes.
You probably heard of the news coming out of there, class action and all that. So I was looking at this as a possible short.
Okay.
And I wanted to get your feelings on it, if this is if it's a you know,
I think
nice bet
for
now.
Anthony, I think their problems are just beginning. You want to know the truth. And why I say that is because all that flooring they put in everybody's houses everywhere, you don't think they're all going to sue them? Of course they're going to sue them. Whether they're sick or not sick, whether they want the new flooring. And I don't know how much money that's going to cost them. I mean, it's kind of an unknown thing. How much of this flooring did they put in? And how much will it cost to tear it out and re-put it? And how many people are going to sue them because they were sick? All those problems, and how much insurance they have for protection of this kind of thing. This is Lumber Liquidators, LL is simple. They operate 325 flooring stores in 46 states. And there was a big 60-minute show, a 60-minute expose, where they were putting floors in that had way too much. I don't remember the chemical that was in this wood, but very toxic chemical. And they were saying that got it from China. And they were saying that it was met all the American standards of safety, and it didn't. And so how bad is it? Before this came out, Lumber Liquidators looked pretty solid. Now that it's out?
Yeah, it's the formaldehyde coming from the glue that they use, understanding.
Yeah, thank you.
And I was wondering from a technical standpoint, if I was to short it, is it even possible to see how long I could ride it out?
Certainly. Looking at I'm going to go to a weekly chart because it's broken all the data chart. Yeah. It looks like it. I think it's heading down to $20 a share. I think that's where it's going. Okay?
Okay.
As far as short, down 33 down to 20, that's a $13 gain. So I think it's pretty doable, personally. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
Hold on, Kevin. We'll get to you right after the break. I'm glad you choose to spend some time with me every day. I appreciate it. Our money manager from KPP Financial offers many choices, but not too many, of what type of investments do you want. Of course, that goes to the kind of person that you are. How much growth do you want? How risky do you want to be? And so our dynamic growth program, for instance, is dynamic, meaning there's a lot of growth. But we have different levels of risk. Go to InvestTalk and click on the investing tab.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. You're beating yourself by trying to beat the market. Maybe you need to change your mind about investing. That's our talking point next time on InvestTalk. Be sure to join us then.
888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? How about we talk about jobs? Oh, I'm sorry. Kevin, are you there? I'm sorry. Kevin in Poway. How are you doing, Kevin?
I am here. Thank you, Steve. Good chatting with you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you great. Thank you, Kevin.
Oh, okay. May 2013, the healthcare REIT section went from a high to a downhill course.
Okay.
It had a nice run back up, and from reading Seeking Alpha and other like articles, Healthcare REIT, Ventas, Senior Housing, all seem to be having a higher price target. However, that might be changing now.
Right.
What do you think about the future of the three REITs that I mentioned? Up, down, hold.
I think they're a little pricey at this point because everybody really likes them because of the dividends. Let's take a look at one, Healthcare REIT, HCN. It's a real estate investment trust. That's what a REIT is, that invests in healthcare and senior housing facilities located in 44 states. I think the sector itself is going to continue to expand. Why? Because of people like me, the baby boomers. More and more and more of us are going to be needing. I'm looking for my father-in-law right now for a place to live, a senior housing place. So I think it's just going to expand. And therefore, so does a lot of other people. You know,
yes.
Kevin, we're not, you and I think, you know, if we're thinking it, you think a million other people are thinking it. So what you really want to do is wait for everybody to get disappointed in it and quietly pick it up when no one else likes it.
I am in it. I am in those three.
Okay.
I was licking my chops when HCN went to 84, and I'm saying, wow,
Now I'm saying the alarm is ringing.
Yeah,
light, the yellow light is blinking.
Yeah, I think it's heading down. I think it's going to go into the mid-60s, HCN. I would love to pick it up in the mid-50s. That's where I would want to be a buyer.
Yeah, but, you know, you talk about, I learned after 3-4 tax years, I'll quote senior housing's dividend. Mm-hmm. 46% of that dividend is a return of capital.
I hate that.
I do, too, and I just learned it, and it's going down like that. And
well, maybe I should explain to everybody what that means. Instead of the dividend being paid to you out of profits, and this one, HCN pays 4.5% dividend, what they're doing is they're returning your own money back to you, okay? And that's a return of capital. And what that does is it drives down your cost basis, so when you do sell it, it's going to affect your, even though you may, even if you lost money on it, you still may have to pay capital gains tax on top of the tax that you're paying on the dividend. So I really, that's one of the reasons why I really, when you look at these kinds of things, make sure that the dividend is being paid out of earnings, not being paid, for instance, this healthcare REIT, HCN, they've issued stocks four times since 2013, additional shares of stocks.
And another $17 million are up on tap. Plus an additional $3 million.
So they're diluting you, and what they're doing is they're paying your own dividend, your own money back to you in a dividend. I don't like that at all. That really bothers me.
When you mentioned Chevron and Exxon, you know, Chevron, as far as the dividend, I think they call it a dividend achiever, where annually they'll give it a little whack.
Yeah.
And Exxon's a little bit sluggish on that, but nevertheless, for the long haul,
I like those dividends better.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's really, okay, so you're saying look out below.
Yep.
And whatever you decide is fine. While they're going to be expanding and going further, there are still some tax implications and there are some return of capital implications.
Yeah, I'd be very careful with it here, Kevin. I think it might be rolling over on you. So be very, very careful. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you. I guess that's it for the day and for the week. So before we close the hour, remember it's free, but you do have to register for our wealth webinar on how to profit from lower oil prices. It's March 19th, 6 p.m. Pacific time. We're doing a little half hour earlier this time, 6 p.m., not 6:30, 6. Why? Because we're going to have some more question and answer period at the end. We'll go a little bit longer. We'll have time to answer your questions, whatever they might be. To register, go to investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening today, and enjoy your weekend.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.